but our hotel that night was the worst we experienced in the whole of South America. It started off quite well. We found the Hotel Casanova really easily. They had a room for us, it was affordable, and at first glance it didn't look too bad. And si, senora, you can bring your motorcycles inside. The parking wasn't in a courtyard, but in the reception area. My piece of string came into play, and luckily we could get the bikes up the step and through the door without having to take any panniers off. This seemed like a major bonus, as the scruffy reception area was full of greasy men who were uniformly dressed in sweat-stained, grubby shirts, unbuttoned low enough to expose equally grubby undershirts stretched over bulging bellies. All were smoking as they watched the television. All were unshaven, and some sported thick black Pancho Villa moustaches. With these villainous characters sitting in our new garage, we were quite happy not to show off just how easily our panniers could be removed from the bikes. We made a show of unlocking all the locks on our boxes and carefully locking them up again when we'd retrieved the few bits of kit we needed. As we did so, the TV was forgotten. We were much better at entertainment. My friendly nods to the men were ignored with dead eyes and expressionless faces. Not a soul spoke to us, except the greasy-skinned, stubble-chinned receptionist, who was one of the surliest men I've ever met. Everything was too much effort for him, but at least the bikes were off the street, though I wondered how long they would survive in the reception area. Would bits be unbolted or fiddled with to breaking point? Our room was the first down the corridor from reception, and that was fine, even though we could hear the reception TV in the room. The walls were streaked with rivulets of grime. They might once have been white. It was hard to tell. Years of cigarette smoking in the room had turned the walls to a blotchy sepia. The dark green lino floor held a sticky grip on our feet as we walked across the room. The sagging iron-framed bed had a filthy sheet spread across it. On the wall around the edge of the bed, mattress level, was a grubby line encrusted with pubic hair. Blood was splattered in between the sticky black curls. Birgit and I looked at each other. Should we stay or should we go? The thought of getting loaded up and then having to ride some more was daunting, and it was getting dark outside and we knew that there wasn't another affordable option close by, so we stayed. We put our tent ground sheet on the bed, and that way we could keep our sleeping bags off the walls, and if there were going to be bugs in the bed, then they'd have a hard time getting at us. A selling factor for the room was that it was ensuite. But the bathroom held a crack mirror that reflected five versions of my grubby face back at me, and the toilet was full of the last inhabitant's turds. The smell was grim, but fortunately the flush worked reasonably well. Used repeatedly, it finally cleared everything away. The toilet seat was missing, but that didn't faze us. We'd have preferred not to sit on it anyway. The killer item was the shower, almost literally. It looked like something out of Dr. Frankenstein's laboratory. The shower rose had a collection of electrical wires coming from it that showed bare copper, and the once white porcelain shower basin looked as if it was rimmed with tar. That was okay, we'd just use our flip-flops, but the wires were a worry. We'd heard about showers like this from other travellers, and it seemed that, though freakish-looking, they actually worked quite well, and no one we talked to had been electrocuted. Tired, we set up camp and made dinner of white bread rolls and wedges of soggy cheese, which, when combined with tomatoes, weren't too bad. We washed carefully and then climbed onto the ground sheet. Mosquitoes were already beginning to buzz as we lay listening to the rapid speech and overly dramatic sounds of a Spanish soap opera from the television in reception. Beneath that layer of noise came the sounds of trucks rumbling past us in the street outside, and the quiet murmur of voices coming from somewhere that was hard to pinpoint. It could have been worse. We dozed. Suddenly we were woken with a jolt. We'd not realised that the room's only window, a small affair high on the wall, opened out right into the restaurant next door. Someone had turned a jukebox on. Then, moments later, the disco on the floor above us in the hotel started up. The barrage of noise was hitting us from two sides and above. Birgit and I looked at each other, horrified. What sort of place was this? We lay in the saggy bed and giggled hysterically. It couldn't get worse. The bare walls of the room bounced the sounds around until I began to feel that the room was spinning. With a booming salsa beat coming from above, I now knew what it was like to be inside a loudspeaker. Even the ceiling was drumming and vibrating. I think Birgit was still giggling, but I could no longer hear her.